It's an election night that no one expected.
The good news is that there is every chance that the Liberal National Coalition has won this election.
I think politics in Australia has not been at its best for the last 10 years, and I think it's time we change that.
Thank you, Chloe Shorten's husband.
And it's capped off a wild ride that was the last 5 weeks on the campaign.
Morrison, what are you going to do? You need to keep coal in the ground.
I'm going to secure people's jobs for the future. That's what
yes,
I'm going to do.
I want
Exit polls initially indicated on Saturday afternoon that Labor would win, which would have clipped Scott Morrison's time as Prime Minister as one of the shortest tenures in Australian history.
Tastes like a mood for change.
Okay, sirrah, sirrah.
But as we record Please Explain tonight, the news for the Scott Morrison-led coalition is incredibly positive. This is Please Explain. I'm Tori Maguire. Tonight I'm joined by the Federal Editor Bevan Shields and the Chief Political Correspondent David Crowe to break it down. So let's get into it. It's about 10 to 10 on Saturday night, and I'm here in the office with Bevan Shields, and on the line from Bill Shorten's election night party is Chief Political Correspondent David Crowe. David, tell us what's happening in the room there.
What's happening in the room is that you've got a lot of Labor supporters who are getting quieter as the night goes on. Obviously, there were some early signs, including exit polls, that gave them heart. But as the night went on, they won a couple of seats. All the big gains went to the coalition, and the reality began to sink in. And that's where we are at this point, where, as we speak now, we haven't heard from Bill Shorten, but we are looking at a room of Labor supporters who are staring at their mobile phones, not impressed with Peter Dutton's declaration of victory, particularly when he used Paul Keating's famous line from 1993 about this being the sweetest victory of all. That really hurt, and there were boos in the crowd here at the Labor event, but their fortunes are not looking good.
So about 10 minutes ago, the ABC's Anthony Green made the call that Labor cannot win the election tonight. Bevan, can you give us a quick rundown of the state of play?
That's right. And that's because he's not looking at this as a national swing. We're drilling down into the results by state and by seat. And that tells a pretty ugly story for Labor. Now, Labor is actually at this point, and it's you know, it's still 10 o'clock at night. Labor is actually ahead on the two-party preferred vote. What has happened is they've suffered some savage swings against them in two key states, that's Queensland and also Tasmania. Adding to that, the Labor was very, very hopeful of picking up four, maybe five seats in Victoria. At this point, they will be lucky to pick up two seats in Victoria. So that means that when you add up the Labor gains, and there are a few Labor gains, take away the Labor losses, there's no way Labor could get anywhere near the 77 seats that's needed to form a government. The coalition will get there. It's just a question of whether they get there in a majority or they fall a couple short and they have to rely on independents for supply and confidence, which, in other words, is a hung parliament.
David, this is a pretty extraordinary result, isn't it? I mean, Bill Shorten has had almost 6 years to get to the Australian public to get to know him. He's had a stable front bench. He has brought an enormous amount of ambitious policies to the table, and he hasn't really had any terrible disasters. How did he not win this election?
They miscalculated the mood of voters in Queensland, and they overdid their agenda in a way that ultimately worried voters and turned them back to the safety and security of the coalition. Scott Morrison campaigned very well and changed the dynamic that we've been seeing for 5 years. It really is a full 5 years that Bill Shorten has had a relatively, you know, an agenda about higher tax revenue to fund things like health and education. That played havoc with Tony Abbott in 2015. It just wrecked Malcolm Turnbull in government for several years when combined with the coalition's divisions. Now, with that division out of the way and a very canny political operator in Scott Morrison, things didn't go Labor's way. So in a sense, they've paid for the overconfidence with their own agenda.
So just one last question before we actually let you go, because we need you to file for the later edition of the paper. Do you think that this means the end of opposition's bringing bold, ambitious plans to elections? Was it too much?
Yes. Yes. No doubt about it. It's such a surprise result, because bear in mind, we've all been talking to both sides of politics. The Liberals were quietly confident about some seats, but there was no sense from them that they were willing to just talk about openly about a result of this kind. Labor, on the other hand, were reasonably confident of being able to get past 77 seats. So this is a shock, a really huge shock. And it means that oppositions will not crusade on major reform in this way again.
David, thanks so much. We will let you go.
Thanks. See you.
Bevan, I want to talk to you about Tony Abbott. So the opposite story of the night, you know, such good news for the government, but Tony Abbott's had a disaster.
Well, there's some people in the in the coalition who a couple of weeks ago said that the best outcome for them would be that Tony Abbott loses, but the coalition sneaks over the line. And that's exactly what's happened. Scott Morrison will be incredibly relieved. He'll be able to go into this parliament with unbelievable support from the backbench. They won't touch him. He'll be a hero. A Liberal Party hero, probably to rival John Howard, I would suspect, after this. And he can do it without the menace that's Tony Abbott sitting behind him the whole time. If Tony Abbott had won his seat, Scott Morrison would have had to put him in his cabinet. That would not have been a good outcome for him. So he's rid of Abbott. The other people who had eyed off Morrison's job, people like Peter Dutton and Josh Frydenberg, will lock in behind him now. He's home and hosed for 3 years. On the other side, you know, Bill Shorten is finished. Mm. He will have to resign as Labor leader. It's a question of whether there is a live question of whether he even stays in Parliament now for the full term. And Labor is going to have to do some soul searching. But, you know, the one happy spot for Labor has this election is seeing the back of Tony Abbott in Warringah, and Zali Steggall will enter Parliament as a hero for the progressive movement in politics.
Mm. Is it too soon to start talking about who might be the next Labor leader?
No, I think those discussions would be happening right as we speak.
Who'd be on the list?
And tomorrow,
potential candidates.
There's probably two main options. One is Tanya Plibersek. Now, she's deputy leader and she may have to wear some blame out of this result. She's in the leadership team. The other option is Anthony Albanese, who would certainly be popular with members, would possibly be popular with the backbench, but this will have to go to a leadership contest. Under the Labor leadership rules, this will be a decision of the party membership and the caucus, and that's a long, protracted process. So we'll probably have an interim leader, a clean skin, that may be Plibersek, while Labor sorts itself out.
Let's talk about Queensland for a bit. We have a good story to tell about Queensland in that it's a great example of why you should get journalists out on the road, because you sent Michael Koziol and Alex Ellinghausen to Queensland for a good week and a bit early in the campaign. And when they got home, Michael filed a story that said Labor is in serious trouble in Queensland. And he was right, wasn't he?
He was right. He picked up on the ground that Labor's franking credits policy was incredibly unpopular, and Queenslanders did not like people in southern states telling them what to do on issues like Adani and climate change. That was a potent factor. Queensland, I'm just looking, Queensland, I mean, Labor has just been absolutely thrashed in its primary vote in Queensland. It is quite incredible what's
happened. Clive Palmer have much to do with that, do you think?
Look, Clive Palmer may, no. Look, I think it's partly Clive Palmer's preferences. Clive's not done very well. His preferences have helped, but this is way bigger than Clive Palmer's preferences. This is a repudiation of Labor and Bill Shorten in Queensland, and people turning to the coalition in droves. I mean, the coalition has probably picked up the seat of Lilly, which is Wayne Swan's former seat. They're in with a shot in a seat like Blair, which is held by Shane Newman, who would have been the immigration minister in a Labor government. They've also picked up Longman, which Labor won very convincingly at a by-election in the last term. So they've absolutely smashed it. It's just true that people are shocked by this. I would say even the government is shocked by this. Some core Scott Morrison supporters had been saying for a while that they're feeling confident. Nobody believed them, including a lot of people in the government. And they were right. And look, and everyone's an expert in hindsight. Everyone is an expert in hindsight. But you can go back and actually kind of see where the seeds of this result tonight have been laid. And that was in Morrison's incredible campaigning. He was a good campaigner. And you could also see it in the fact that Shorten basically gave up on Queensland in the last week, and he had to fly down to Tasmania to try and defend seats down there. And it looks like those seats may fall to the coalition as well. So you can see the little, you know, you can see the breadcrumbs.
Morrison campaigned like an opposition leader, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And as David said, I think this is really the effects of this beyond, you know, who's leader, all that, you know, policy, whatever, is around what's the role of an opposition. And I think David is absolutely right. Opposition is going to be very meek and mild going to elections. And I look, personally, I don't think that's a good thing. Whether the opposition is a Labor opposition or a coalition opposition, I think it's a good thing that they go to an election with a policy agenda, whichever side it is. And I think, you know, who's going to have the guts to do this after this?
Well, Bevan, we've still got further editions of the Sydney Morning Herald and The Age to get out, so we better go.
Bye-bye.
We'd certainly like to have clearly picked up a few more seats than we have so far. The result in Queensland's not quite what we'd hoped.
It is a stupendous result. It is a great result for Scott Morrison and the rest of the wider Liberal team. And Scott Morrison will now quite rightly enter the Liberal pantheon forever.